Can you feel it, Sleuths? The days are getting warmer and spring has officially sprung, which means spring break is here. Which, for the older folk, that basically means people are going outside, they're staying outside, and they are staying out way longer. But the thing is, who wants to deal with those post-party struggles? I know I don't. I mean, I quite literally and physically can't at this stage in my life. And that's where my spring break essential comes in, which is Taste Salud. Say goodbye to the Sunday scaries with Taste Salud's hydrating drink mixes. Listen, I started my spring break a little bit early last weekend when my best friend Allie came to town. And we had a night or two on the town, and how I felt, honestly, come Monday morning was better than any spring break party you can imagine. And that is a rare occurrence for me and has only started happening since I've started drinking Taste Salud religiously. Because unlike those big name brands we all know, Salud knocks it out of the park with their one-of-a-kind flavors. I'm drinking one right now. And no, it's not because I plan on drinking any kind of alcohol, but just because I'm trying to get hydrated and energized. I'm obviously drinking the horchata flavor, but you get to enjoy flavors like cucumber lime, hibiscus, and they even have mocktails now. Say hello to Paloma and strawberry margarita. Filled with electrolytes and vitamins that support hydration and boost immunity with less sugar. I'm talking only 1 gram of sugar per stick. This is exactly what you need to get your Sunday fun day going, regardless of what the rest of the day entails. And here's the best part. They're sharing the love with all of my listeners. Enjoy 10% off your first purchase with the code SOFIA10 at checkout. That's SOFIA and the number 10 at TasteSalud.com. Cheers to health this spring break season with Taste Salud. Hi guys, welcome to SWOF. I am back and I'm here to fucking stay on one condition. You have to please subscribe to the show, rate it 5.5 stars, leave a review, 200 word count, a positive one. Follow me on TikTok, Instagram, so if you have podcast, Twitter, comment and like on all of my fucking posts. I'm probably forgetting something, but basically, Sleuths, I am back and I'm back for good. I don't know if you can hear it in my voice. Something has changed. I am just beaming. Europe did me very fucking well. Like, I got eaten out, foreplay, fingering, the whole 9 yards, fucked in the ass, good. I am tan. I have put on 6 pounds and my ass is looking phenomenal. I have like a little bit of a pasta belly, but it balances it out and it's exactly what I fucking needed. Except the 2 very noticeable battle wounds. They're noticeable because they're on my fucking face, you guys. On my nose and on my forehead to be exact, but that is a story we will get into later. Aside from that, I look like a human being again. I was looking, admittedly, a little gaunt in the face, a la Kate Moss, because I wasn't doing too well, which I'm assuming Kate Moss wasn't either in her prime in the fucking 90s. Isn't there a video of her doing coke on a park bench or some shit? Anyways, now, new year, new me, because it was just my fucking birthday. But before we get into that, I need to talk about something. I have been so conflicted over this, and I would love to hear anyone's experience with this. So,
One of my really good friends who lives in LA told me that he had an opening and asked me to join him and like a small group of people to a healing ritual type thing with this highly regarded shaman to try ayahuasca this fucking upcoming weekend. We were going to go down south somewhere. I was told to wear all white. They like sent this email and it was wild. I don't know what an email for a ayahuasca medical ceremony is supposed to be, but like there was a list of things to bring that was very confusing to me. Like, we will be providing a nourishing soup for everyone, but please pack your own food. Please pack your own toothbrush and toothpaste. Like, you're trying to tell me while I'm laying on my back having an ego death, I'm going to be like, hold up, can someone grab my toiletries, please? They're in the fucking front pocket. I don't know. So anyways, there was a months long waiting list for this thing. I wasn't expecting it to come up so soon, but someone dropped out last minute and I had toyed with this idea because my friend who invited me said it changed his life and I witnessed it change his life firsthand. He had like battled some inner demons he was battling a long time and he did one of these ceremonies and he became a new person in the best fucking way. But the thing is, when it comes to me, myself, and Irene, I have a very overactive brain. You guys have all heard about my experiences with marijuana. They have me sitting in my mom's lap asking her to take me to the nearest New York Presbyterian Hospital. That's a true story. And I know it's completely different than weed, right? I'm shocked that I even put my name on the list, but I had done a lot of research and thought it was something I wanted to try. But now that it's like real, as in a few days, I'm really starting to chicken out. I don't know if I can go through with it. I just think like the fact that I'm scared already makes me think I'm going to go there and be mid-trip and take all my fucking clothes off and run into the Amazon like a wild thornberry. Doesn't seem like the best headspace, so probably not going to happen. I'll keep you guys updated though. Quickly before the episode, back to my birthday. 29 sleuths. The last year of my 20s. And if I hear one more person say, oh my God, you're almost 30. Yeah, I know how to do basic algebra, barely. I honestly can't wait to be fucking 30. The crow's feet, the gray hair, give it all to me. I'm ready to go. I actually look forward to being at a fucking nursing home on the beach in Florida, drinking a pina colada by the pool all day long and using a little walker with tennis balls on the bottom. That actually sounds amazing to me. Sign me the fuck up. But people who enjoy their birthday are fascinating to me. And the reposts on the story and the texts rolling in. And then you're like, oh, fuck. Did enough people tell me happy birthday? Better make sure next year I reach out to more people on their birthdays so we don't run into this shit show again. And the bitches that are like celebrating my birthday week, my birthday month. It's absolutely insane. And I don't want to bust your bubble, but every single person has a birthday. I promise you, you don't even have to Google fact check me. Everyone does have a birthday. So I would say this has been the best birthday I've ever had. I'm not going to cry, although I did in this video. I have the best team, but more so the best listeners on planet Earth. Without my knowing, which, by the way, I don't know how the fuck they got away with this and they're all getting fired, but my team compiled a video of my listeners wishing me a happy birthday. And I remember kind of just feeling like, I don't like my birthday and I didn't do anything. And I was working and I was stuck in the studio and it was like 11:50 and the video was sent to me and it literally made my fucking birthday. I did cry a little bit. So I just want to say thank you forever. You really have no idea how much you mean to me, and I can't wait to start doing live shows to meet every single one of you and hook up with all of you one big orgy. Let's get into the fucking episode, shall we? My guest this week is my spirit animal, my idol, my lesbian crush, all in one, Raquel Natasha. She is a fucking fashion icon. Half of the things I wear, I copied directly from her Instagram/blog. And she may look like your typical selfish backstabbing influencer, but she really is one of the most insightful, intelligent women I've had the pleasure of becoming really good friends with. I do want to say there is sensitive material in this episode. Raquel is sharing, you know, like really intimate details of her life story, which includes her relationship with Tim Bergling, otherwise known as Avicii, who made headlines when he tragically passed in 2018. So I just want everyone to have the heads up. Let's get into it, please. And no, I don't give a fuck that turtle Jeff Bezos went to space. I wish he stayed there. Bye. Raquel, how are you?
I'm better now. After three glasses of wine, I'm good.
Okay, so we are on our third glass of wine and we're at the Bulgari Hotel in Milan. This place is like, we don't deserve to be here.
It's insane.
They have a pamphlet when you walk into the room for pillows.
Pillow menu. It's a menu for pillows. So you get to pick the different firmness.
Yes.
Scents. Whatever you want.
Oh my God, you guys, I got the lavender pillow and then they had these business cards with my name on them. Okay. So it's like Sophia Franklin and like, I don't even know what the fuck it said. It like shows my location, my room.
And the phone number, like you work at the hotel. I don't really understand what you're supposed to do with the business cards. Hand them out on the streets of Milan.
I don't understand either. Yeah. Like whoever I meet, I'm like, you can find me here. No thanks. So we are in Milan, Italy. But Raquel, we met for the first time a couple days ago at Lake Como in Italy.
Yes.
When I say that Raquel and I took 0.30 seconds to destroy, destruct, and trash up the fucking Hotel Tremezzo in Lake Como, I'm like, I'm embarrassed, but I'm proud at the same time. You know?
I think they were like secretly loving it. Like,
right.
Loving.
But afraid.
We came in like tornadoes. Like, I met you in the lobby for the first time. We finally got to meet after 2 years over Instagram, like DMing, messaging back and forth. We go downstairs to the beach, to the restaurant, glass of wine right away.
Right away. Guys, I had been staying there. And I feel so stupid, like, even talking this way because, like, we are old enough to know now, like, shots back to back. Like, we're not trying to act cool. We're just trying to, like, state the facts.
Yeah. I think we were just trying to get trashed. That's all we were doing. And mind you, this hotel is, like, a very high-end, classy hotel that, like, couples go to, that families go to. There was one single girl that was there, which was really random. She was beautiful.
Right. But she had been there with her friend.
Yeah.
And everyone there was there to really like relax and not relax in the way that we were. Like relax like with their families. Yes. And just like.
With their partner.
Yeah. Go to the spa and like chill by the beach. You mean Alana, the girl we were with, like we wanted.
To get fucked up.
We did.
Yeah.
We just did. So we started having shots and next thing I know, oh my God, you guys are going to like see pictures on my Instagram.
No, you're like, let's go to the pool. Let's go swimming. She makes us put on our bikinis. We get in the pool. We're ordering more shots to the indoor pool there.
Which I don't think people regularly are like, bring me shots to the fucking indoor pool. Yeah. I'll be sitting in the water. Come find me.
Come on, let's go swimming, guys. Okay, Sophia, let's go swim.
Right. So this guy is like bringing a tray of shots and it was very spa-like. It wasn't like, let's take shots area, but that's okay.
Yeah, I know.
We did it anyways. Yeah. And we're taking pics. We were really having the best
time. We were having a great time.
I decide to get my hair wet. I thought that would be the funnest thing in the
whole world.
Let's
go underwater. Let's go swimming. She was exploring.
Yes. I smacked my face on the pavement of the pool, guys. And I have like this scab on my forehead and on my nose. And it's so bad. Raquel's like looking at me, like laughing hysterically. It's so fucking bad. And I've had to spend the rest of the trip with like, it looks like I
got beat.
I was about to make that joke. Like, I need to wear these huge sunglasses.
No, but she came out of the pool and with a smile on her face, and there's just blood dripping down her nose. And I'm like, what the fuck just happened? Because you went off swimming by yourself.
I know. I know.
And you came back with a bloody face.
I know. You actually were like very put together, I remember. Because you were standing outside of the pool and I was like, get in the pool. And you were like, I'm good.
Yeah.
While I'm like gushing blood. You probably like shut the fuck up. So anyways, we met in Como and now I'm in Milan because I have my flight tomorrow. And Raquel, you've been here for like a week or two.
Yeah, I've been here for a week. And that's when we decided to get out of the city and come to Como.
Yeah.
And then now we're back here for the weekend. And then I fly out on Monday.
Okay, Raquel, let's tell them like your little adventure in Europe because you're not really supposed to be in Milan right now.
I don't even know where I'm supposed to be. First of all, I flew from Bermuda. I was in Bermuda for a work trip with Revolve, a company that I work with all the time.
Oh God, I've been wanting to go on those.
Oh my God.
The Revolve Around the World trip.
Revolve Around the World
trip. And you said they're the best things in the whole world.
They are the most fun trips ever. I mean, they're like a family to me at this point.
Right.
I've been traveling with them for years now. I've known them forever. They're really, truly, like, not only do they have, like, the most amazing, like, cool brand and clothes and stuff.
Do.
Like, they really are, like, amazing people. Like, all of the people that work for the company and, like, that organize these trips. Like, they have everything down to a T. And, like, the girls that they get together, like, it's all really just...
cool girls.
Yeah, cool, really great, like, super fun. Yeah. Anyways,
those trips look amazing. Yes. Do they look as fun as they look
on
Instagram?
So when people are like, oh, are these girls doing it just for Instagram? Is it just for... No, we're actually having... I can tell you straight up right now, we actually have a really fucking good time. We're in the best places. We're surrounded by great people, you know, and I think it's like creating that whole lifestyle that helps market the clothes and the brand for people and for girls like around our age and stuff. So back to why I'm still here a month later. So I flew from Bermuda to Mykonos and I was supposed to be there for about 8 days. And
I were there for how long?
I ended up staying in Mykonos for 3 fucking weeks. That's the cool thing about social media is that like you upload something or where you are and people
reach out and you can reach out.
Yeah, you can reach out and people are like, oh my God, you're here. Or like, for example, the reason why I'm in Milan is because my girlfriend is like, Raquel, just broke up with my girlfriend. I really want to like be around my girlfriends. Like, where are you? What's your plan? And I was like, boom, I'll come to Milan.
Right, right. But that's also the really cool thing about being single.
I am so single, it hurts. It hurts, but it feels good at the same time.
Right? Because like you can have a friend reach out and be like, bitch, I'll meet you there.
Yeah.
Bitch, I'll go there.
Yeah,
like, let's
do
go.
This. Let's do that. Like I have so much freedom right now. It's really amazing. I feel like I'm in a very good place.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So we need to talk about guys.
Wait. Where do we even start? I don't know.
We're starting with. Okay, so Raquel is single, as you guys heard. Mm-hmm. And the way Raquel has been acting is something we should all look up to and try to emulate.
Yeah.
You go to Mykonos told me the story about this guy and how you started talking to him, whatever.
Yeah.
Tell us how it happened.
My best friend from London, she's like, Raquel, like, I'm flying in. So she flew in because she knew that I didn't have like that great of a week. So she flew in. We had such a good time.
Is she single?
She's so single too.
I'm about to like break up with my guy. No, it sounds too fun. It really does.
I'm not going to lie. I've met her guy and I really love him. But also the single life is very good.
Okay, continue.
Yeah. And okay, so we went out for dinner with a big group of friends. We were just meeting up with people. There was like 15 of us at a table. I'm sitting down, we're taking shots, and I'm drinking, and I'm scanning the room, pretty much.
Right.
You know, looking around, just kind of like, what's going on? I see this guy, and he's, like, very much my type.
Yeah.
I look at my girlfriend, I was like, I want him. She's like, okay, like, what do you mean? I was like, I'm not leaving this restaurant until I talk to this guy.
Oh my God. Okay.
She's like, okay, well, what should we do? Like, do you want me to go up to his friend? So we get up, we go to the bathroom like 2-3 times and we're like walking by, like pretty much trying to get their attention. Right.
You're like the bend and snap from like, what is that movie?
We're trying, I don't know.
Legally Blonde.
Yeah. So I'm walking by, I'm like strutting by like 2-3 times. I was like, this motherfucker is like not looking at all. He's like not catching the bait.
Right. You're trying everything.
I'm trying everything. So I was like, I know what to do. She's like, what? I was like, get up. We're going to the bar. And she goes, okay. So we walk up to the bar and I go to the bartender. I order us 3 shots of tequila, one for me, one for my girlfriend. And I was like, see that guy over there? I was like, you're going to take this shot of tequila. And he's sitting at a table with like 5 other guys. And I was like, and you're going to bring this shot to him and tell him it's from the girl in the hat. And he's like, what? Like, okay. I was like, just send it to him.
I cannot believe you sent a shot to a dude. I know. Have you ever done that before?
I've never done this in my life. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's like the energy and vibe like in Mykonos at all. I don't know what it was, but I just was feeling very confident.
Savage.
I was feeling savagery, like very confident with myself. Like, I just went for it. Like, I saw something that I wanted.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm not leaving until like
I get it.
Yeah, like full like, savage.
But honestly, like a men's mentality, right?
Yeah. I don't know. I think like a guy sometimes.
You wouldn't think
by like looking at me and like seeing me online and stuff, but like if you were to get to know me and stuff, I'm like
right. Which we also understand that's like a chauvinistic way of thinking. Yeah. But like it is. It tends to be like I don't think I've ever walked in places and been like, oh, that guy's hot. And then I sit down and I'm like, I hope one of them hits on me.
Yeah, because we're so used to like, okay, we need to make the guy like approach us and stuff. And I've always been that way too. Like,
but this night.
I just felt something, you know?
And it worked, you guys. This is confidence, like Sleut University confidence 101.
Yeah, I don't know where it came from. I'm really not sure.
But it worked.
And I went back to my table with my girlfriend and I sat down with our shots and I watched the bartender bring the shot over to him and he takes it from the bartender and he looks over his shoulder and he's like, what, me? And he looks over to me and I like cheers him from across.
Oh my God, guys, this is the other part. If I would have sent a shot to a dude, I would have like turned my back and been like, I hope like he just knows it's from me because I am admittedly one of those girls. Like, I'm just going to go back to my room and like think about him all night long and see if I can find him on Instagram somehow.
Yeah.
You know? But I think this is such a great tip for girls. Like,
I really do, honestly, because you just never know. And like the chemistry that like we ended up. Okay, I'm backtracking.
So no, it's great.
We end up like talking and, you know, getting along. And he's like, come to this villa party. We're going to go party. So we go party all night. And mind you, Raquel, I turn into Natasha when I'm drunk.
You need to tell us what the fuck that means. Raquel will like, we'll be at dinner and she'll be like, I'm Raquel, I'm Natasha, I'm Raquel, I'm Natasha. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Okay, so basically all my close friends and people that know me knows that I turn into Natasha. Like, so I go by Raquel Natasha on social media and people know that's my name, but I turn into Natasha when I drink. Like when I get really fucked up, I turn into like, fun, very lighthearted, just like crazy, loves to have a good time. That's Natasha.
You're like party girl.
Party
like
girl.
Premiere.
Yeah. Yes. Just like always down for a good time. So we leave the restaurant after I pick him up with my tequila shot. And I go to this villa party with him. We're dancing. We have a good time. And I see this other guy that I had met just a couple days before that. And I think I was just so fucked up and drunk that I ended up like gravitating towards the guy that I had like met and talked to.
And like felt safe with.
Yeah, and right. felt safe. And I just kind of like stuck to him. And I kid you not, we were at the party and the football player like had a bottle of tequila in his hand and then this other one and like my girlfriend's like, what? I'm like surrounded. They were like, I was here and one was on my right and one was on my left and I didn't know what. I was like juggling both.
Like piranhas.
Like piranhas.
Like, what do I do?
It was just like dudes everywhere. And I was just like, didn't know what to do with myself.
Right.
So my girlfriend who was with me at the restaurant was talking to this guy's friend. So we ended up leaving the party with all of them, like a group of them.
Okay. I just can't imagine being like a woman and just having like two men that I both kind of like set up in a different way. Like, ready.
And it was, they were, and this, the football player was like watching me with this other guy, but it was making him want me even more. It was crazy.
Oh my God. Guys, that's the real tip. Cause send a shot to one, but also make another one convince you're about to fuck him. Like, that's what you do.
And it's so crazy. It's like this reverse side, cause us as women are so used to like chasing after the guys and the guys like pushing us away. But I've never really experienced this where like
juggling two guys,
like, and they both were aware of like what was going on. Right. You know what? And they were both like gravitating towards my attention.
Right.
So I get a text from him when I'm leaving the party with this group of friends. And he says, "Oh, wow. So you chose another one?"
No. Stop.
Yeah. And I'm like, "This is dinner, babe. Your dessert." No, wait. "This is dinner. Your dessert, babe." And he goes, "Okay, wait for it."
So you went home with one.
I went home with one, but I didn't sleep with that one.
Okay, that's fine.
Well, I left regardless, the party, yeah.
But the other one DMs you and is like, "You left with someone else," and you say, "This is dinner, your dessert, babe."
Who?
Natasha.
That was Natasha.
Natasha.
That's what my girlfriend is like. Natasha is just like full fucking savage.
And he fucking loved that.
And he said,
"Okay,
wait for it. Bad girl, don't complain about my two phones." Because he had two phones.
Guys, there's another thing. So Raquel / Natasha, like amazing girl. She has two phones.
Yeah.
And when I met her in Como, I was like, "Wait, I need to understand why the fuck are there two phones?" You have like a whole reasoning.
Yeah, I had a whole reason because my main phone.
You sound like every dude that has two phones right
now. I know, I sound like a football player right now, right? No, my main phone smashed. The camera smashed at the front. It was smashed for like a month. So my girlfriend who flew in, she had an extra cell phone. And she knows that I need the front camera for work.
Right.
Like for story and whatever, you know? So
but
she brought.
I would love to know, Raquel, like, how do dudes feel like when they take you to dinner and you like lay out like two phones?
Okay.
Like, do they like comment on it?
I feel I'm about to do it because I have a dinner tonight. Okay. So I'm going to let you know. I haven't gone to a dinner yet.
Okay.
With these
you
phones.
Have. She will text me and tell me and I'll like report back.
I don't know. And also, I'm kind of in this place with my life that I'm having fun.
Yeah.
And I'm having a good time. And, and that's also very attractive, is when you're focused on yourself.
I'm telling you, I was about to say, like, I landed my boyfriend. I didn't land him. Like, he's lucky to like be dating me. He's like a great guy, whatever. But when I went on like our first few dates, I was in that mentality.
100%.
I was like, "I don't want a boyfriend. I want to have fun. I want to be wild. I want to be crazy. I don't need a dude. Like, I'm fulfilled and like feel so full just being me."
Yeah, of course. And it's very attractive.
Very.
It's and they can almost like smell it. And
they can
sense it. They're like, I don't know, men are like very animalistic.
Yes, they are. They reptilian brain.
And they love to hunt.
They do.
They love to hunt and they love to try to like hunt what they feel like they can't have.
They do. 100%.
And what doesn't come easy to them.
So what's going on with these two guys now? You're just
kind of
like juggling.
Well, the one is nothing ever happened.
Okay.
But obviously I ended up having like an amazing 2 days. And what's really crazy and what I think girls should have like the confidence of doing that more is because you just never know who you're going to meet and like what's going to happen. Because I actually had the most amazing time with this guy and felt like I had known him forever. He was like my Mykonos boyfriend.
The one you sent the shot to.
The one that I sent the shot to. Yes. I felt like I knew him forever. We like went to beach club, went swimming, had amazing lunches, like got drunk, like hooked up. Like it was amazing.
And the hookup was like amazing.
It was
the best ever.
It was,
she told me.
Such good sex. Like, so good.
I'm like living, like, not that I know. Bad sex, but like I'm living vicariously through.
It was
like,
just like, it was like, and you know, we left this beach club on quads and like, It was like a little movie and it was like right. such a high. And
don't you think vacation sex is like way, is like the best?
It has to be with anything? The right, it has to be with a good person. Like you guys have to have chemistry.
True.
Right.
But as someone who's like in a relationship, like our sex at home has like, I have to be honest to everyone listening, like.
Is it getting stale? Good.
It's not getting stale, but it's like, I am like so stressed and like so in my head that I'm like, we'll see when it happens. Like go masturbate. Yeah. Like we'll see. But like, on vacay,
yeah,
we have been doing it almost every day, and I've been
amazing.
But on top of that, I've been coming almost every time, which usually it's like I come every one in, I don't know, two or three.
Okay, you know? So you think it's like the vacation sex is just
kind yeah, of because I mean, know I have time. I can be like. No, you're going to be down there for a while or you're going to be fucking me for a while or rubbing me for a while. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, what's also really crazy is that, like, I just met this person.
Right. Okay. So that's a different.
Yeah. Like, and it just felt like there was just, like, so much chemistry and, like, how could I, like, get off this many times or, like,
right. have this, wait, like, I can't have an orgasm on a first time hookup.
No,
but you could.
I mean, no, not all the time. This situation,
particular time you could.
Like, stood out like very well, and we just had amazing chemistry. We were just having such a good time.
Right.
But yeah, I think it just has to do with like traveling Europe, and it's summertime, and you're eating amazing food, and you know, drinking good wine, and that's probably why you guys are like having really good. You're in the most beautiful places too.
You know what? I think it's that we're like removed from
reality.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's what it is. But I also like, I can't believe you sent this shot to this dude and he has become like the best hookup ever. It's like, ladies listening, like confidence is fucking everything.
Confidence is the most sexy thing ever.
How many times has like an ugly, like loser dude broken your heart?
Yeah.
It's happened to me.
And you're like, really? Did I get distraught over this guy that I wasn't even attracted to in the first fucking place?
Thank you. It's because of confidence, and it works both ways.
100%. And I think it's very rare. Mm-hmm. Like I said, he's never had that happen to him ever. And it's exciting. It's new. It's fresh. And I always think it's great when you do something different. And I say go for it.
Now this is my kind of content right here. From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challengers, starring the absolute queen herself, Zendaya, Josh O'Connor, and Mike Feist. Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy turned coach who has taken her husband Art and transformed him into a world-famous Grand Slam champion. To jolt him out of his recent losing streak, she makes him play a challenger event, close to the lowest level of the pro tournament. But her strategy takes a turn when he finds himself standing across the net from his former best friend and Tashi's former boyfriend, Patrick. Past and present collide, and tensions run high. Tashi must ask herself, what will it cost to win? See Challengers now, playing only in theaters. Get tickets now at challengersmovie.com.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So you're single now.
Yeah.
When is the last time you had a boyfriend?
3 years ago.
3 years ago.
I've been single for 3 years.
Yeah. That's so good though.
I know. I know. It's kind of, it's so great, but I feel like I'm like, okay, 3 years. I'm like, maybe I'm like too comfortable.
No.
And I'm really so happy with being so independent that, but also I'm like, it's really going to take somebody truly amazing.
Special.
And special to like, and you allow yourself so much time to figure out who you are and what you want and what you don't want.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes. I think that is so important that you have been single for that long. The longest time I've been single has been 1 year.
Oh, that's it. Yeah.
And it like.
That's a long time. But still, if you were in a relationship before, it's still but not that long.
Also, in the relationship before that, I was cheating. We were like open, but wouldn't say we were open. Like, it was whatever. Messy. But there's something I just think that's so like significant if you are living single as a woman, you know, because a lot of women can't do it. Probably me. Like, I'm probably a perfect example.
Well, you never know, because I was there before until I actually went on in life, and you can do it. Yes. I wouldn't say that you can't, you know, yes. I think that you absolutely can. I was, you know, in a very not super serious, but casual, like, not, I don't know how to begin explaining, relationship with a guy for like 8 months. But I would say my most serious relationship before that was with Tim. Okay. We were together for 2 years, lived together, and
Tim is Avicii. Yeah. So you guys were together for how long?
From 2013 to 2015.
Okay. Yeah. And for those of you who don't know, Tim passed away
in 2018, 3 years ago now.
Oh, wow.
Crazy. I know, time's flying.
How was that, like, being in love with someone who passed away?
So we broke up at the end of 2014, beginning of 2015. And I don't think I really ever truly got over him. I was still always in love with him. I still have so much love for him, but from the moment like we broke up to the time he passed away, I was still very much in love with him. He was, I can truly and honestly say, he was the love of my life.
Right.
I felt like I found my soulmate. Mm-hmm. But as maybe many people know, he had his own personal battles and his own issues and personal demons that he dealt, and addictions that he dealt with. And that's kind of what broke us up initially.
Right. And so, okay. You guys dated for 2 years.
2 years.
And then broke up. But you still like were not over him.
No. It was like an instant connection. As soon as we met, we like.
Walk us through like the beginning. Like, how'd you guys meet?
It was crazy. I was in Vegas and he used to DJ at XS, if anybody has ever been.
Las Vegas.
Yeah.
That's where Fabi works, by the way, you guys.
Oh, no way.
You know, they know Fabi.
Okay,
so
yeah.
Yes.
So she was a bottle service girl.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. So I was there in April of 2013. And I was back behind the stage of the DJ booth, and one of my best guy friends does all the talent relations there. And I remember being behind the DJ booth and David Guetta was playing, and he was behind there as well, but like from across. And it was one of those
Avicii was.
Tim. I know people say like Avicii, but I'm gonna go with him by Tim.
We'll go by Tim, yes.
It was one of those moments that I've never experienced in my entire life where I made eye contact with somebody and the whole room disappeared.
Wow.
You know?
It was like melted away.
Yeah. It was like as soon as I made eye contact with him, the whole room blurred. It was like I felt like I knew him for a really long time.
Right.
And we just instantly connected. And he had asked my very good friend, Jared, like, who is this girl? I want to meet her. So Jared introduced us and we...
Instantaneously.
Like... And he actually had a girlfriend at the time.
Hmm.
And he asked Jared about me and he introduced us and we became friends. And we were friends for a month and we met up in LA and we'd, you know, have dinner and go meet up together. And we would sit for hours and talk. And he actually eventually told his girlfriend, like, I met somebody who's really amazing. And he broke up with his girlfriend. He was very honest.
Right.
Which, I think they were on the road to
breaking up. Which, by the way, when I met my now boyfriend, I was in a relationship.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. Sometimes it happens that way.
Sometimes it happens that way. And I'm not going to be there to break up a relationship or anything like that. And I told him he needed to sort his things out. And he did. And he took initiative. And he was honest with her and broke up with her and said, you know, I want to be with you. And he was just right away, like, in a relationship with me. We, like, took it to the next level after he broke up with his girlfriend. And within, like, 2 or 3 months, I was touring the world with him, pretty much.
Wow. And this is when he was, like,
huge
stardom, like, biggest DJ ever.
Yeah, like, Wake Me Ups.
What was... Oh, Wake Me Up was the song.
Yeah, when Wake Me Up became, like, mainstream and it was on the radio and his whole career went from, like, him being a DJ at, like, all these clubs and stuff to him being pretty much, like, a mainstream star, you know?
An artist,
yeah, where his songs were playing on the radio and...
What was that
He was
like?
Being nominated for awards and, yeah, it was just... It happened so fast.
Right.
And right as we started dating, pretty much.
And what was that like, dating someone so famous and so big? Like, for some reason, I feel like my fragile little ego, like, I wouldn't be able to handle it, kind of.
I don't know. I think it's weird because it all happened so fast that I didn't really have time to, like, think and sit as to, like, what was going on. I was just going with the flow and I was just traveling with him, like, constantly. Next thing you know, we were, like, touring Europe, touring all over the States and, you know, doing press and it just happened so fast. I can't explain so quickly that
was your, like, not that you have tendencies that are jealous, but, like, were you more jealous just, like, knowing he was such a big name?
No, because he never made me feel insecure and he never made me feel uncomfortable. Tim, I always felt like he had tunnel vision for me, that he wouldn't look left. He wouldn't look right. I never had to worry. He always wanted me with him and by his side. So I always felt secure and safe with him. So I never really felt that, like, insecurity or jealousy or really, like, oh my God, I'm dating this person. That's
right.
I knew him as Tim.
And that is a key for anyone listening. If you're dating a dude that's famous, if he's not famous, like, doesn't matter. The guy that has tunnel vision for you makes you feel so secure.
And so
you,
safe. Yeah.
He will make sure that you trust him.
100%. And I just, I never really felt that at all with him. I can honestly, truly say I never felt that with him. And I knew him as Tim. And our relationship was so real and so pure and so raw. And then there was this whole other side of Avicii. And the person he was on stage and, like, what everyone else saw him as. But I knew him as this, like, real, raw person, and our relationship was so pure and so real. Mm-hmm. And so I also felt like he kind of had, like, that battle.
Right, like a double life.
100%. Because when I said, like, oh, I'm dating Tim, he's a DJ, Tim Bergling, they're like, who?
Right.
You know? And that in itself, it was like him trying to figure out, am I Avicii or who's Tim? You know what I mean?
Wow. Yes. Like a double life that he didn't sign up for, but
absolutely not.
That's part of his DJ, like, career and, like, the acceleration.
Yeah.
And it's like, I understand from doing a podcast, which sounds so stupid, but he's on stage to millions of people as a certain person. It's hard to, like, go back and forth between this is me, Tim, with like my girlfriend, family, and this is me.
Yeah. And it was like, I want to, you know, live this life with you and like buy a house and get a dog. But then there's this other life. It was almost like his talent and him being like a natural genius.
Right.
Was almost a blessing, but a curse at the same time.
100%.
You know, it's not like he ever tried to be a famous DJ or, you know, be like this like star. He just was so gifted and he was so talented at making music. And,
right.
you know, his manager at the time discovered him. And in order for him to, you know, showcase his music, he had to be DJing. And he had to be traveling around. But he was like this introverted, fragile, amazing, soft, pure person.
Wow.
You know?
Yes, absolutely. I think people assume people that are celebrities, you know, are very like outward spoken and like huge personalities and blah, blah, blah. And like, they're not necessarily. They're like introverts and insecure and like have worries just like anyone else.
A lot of our relationship, he wanted to stay at home and play video games and I just want to make music. And I remember going to the American Music Awards. We were at home in our apartment and it was like, what was it? Best EDM artist of the year. It was like him, Calvin Harris, a couple other DJs, can't remember. And he was so nervous to go to this award show. And he's like, well, what if I win? Like, what do I go? He had such bad stage fright. He's like,
right.
What do I go up and say? Like, what do I do? I remember him saying, like, I need, like, an Adderall. I need, like, a Klonopin.
Some drug or,
yeah.
like, something.
And I was like, you don't need anything. I was like, you're not even going to win. I had to, like, tell him that even though I knew he was going to win for Wake Me Up.
You're like, you're not going
to
win.
I was like, you're not going to win. Don't worry. Like, I had to talk him out of it. And I remember being at the American Music Awards in, I think it was at the end of 2013. And he, you know, they announced his name and he won and he went up on stage and he was just like so like shy and timid and awkward. And he finally got off stage and his like music manager, somebody had come up to me, Tim wants to leave. It's like, okay. So he grabbed me and he's like, let's go. And we went to our favorite restaurant in LA. Like, he didn't want any part.
Right.
Of,
he didn't want the
fame. No, he didn't want the life. And no. He didn't want any of that.
And I understand
that. And it was a constant battle for him. Always. Right. He was sober pretty much our entire relationship. Didn't drink alcohol. Very rarely.
Really?
Yeah. Because
when did it like take a turn?
Well, he got pancreatitis when he was 23, which was 2 months before I met him.
And how do you get that from drinking
alcohol? I think it was from drinking alcohol way too much. He was touring 325 shows he did in 2012.
In one year.
And I had met him short.
So he had 40 days off.
Pretty much. So I can only imagine he was traveling and he was drinking a ton. And, you know, that DJ lifestyle and touring and partying.
And I just want to say, like, managers and agents that allow the talent to, like, perform that fucking much. How much was it? 300?
I think it was, like, 325 shows in 1 year. There's 365 days in a year. You know,
that's
like
insane.
He's not a robot. He's a human being.
You're going to, you know, burn out and like there's shit that's going to happen. So, okay. So when you were dating him, he was great.
Yeah. When I met him, he was completely sober. He hadn't been drinking any alcohol because of his health. And at the time, I think because of his pancreatitis, they had him on pain pills. And I think, you know, sometimes with that like addictive personality or like that caliber of like genius,
yes,
can easily fall into addictions pretty easily and get addicted to things very easily. And you know, from then it was like they had him on medication and he had a hard time with that. And then it was like him trying to get off. And that was like a constant battle through our entire relationship. And there was a couple times that he did get off and he didn't want to be on medication, but some people get physically dependent on it and mentally dependent on, you know, whether it's pain pills or anti-anxiety or sleeping pills and stuff like that. That's why I'm like very so against it. It's like a big problem and an epidemic now, you know, especially in people around our age, you know?
Right. Adderall.
Adderall.
Xanax. Like all of it.
All of it.
Is insane.
It's insane. Yeah.
So you guys eventually broke up.
And yes, it became after summer 2014 was when the pain pills and the addiction to medication was ruining him, not only him, which was the biggest part, but ruining every close relationship in his life.
Right. You know, I don't want to make it about me, and I'm not, but like I grew up around people that had addiction issues. Mm-hmm. Like, I have never had a boyfriend that's had that. Like, what is that like?
I mean, it's really hard. I didn't know. I never dated anybody. You don't really know how to handle this. You're not handed a book or a pamphlet like in school to be like, this is how you handle somebody who has addiction issues. Right. You know, it's like it's a whole thing. And I don't have an addictive personality, so I can party, I can drink, and I can have fun. I could dabble into things here and there, but I got to know the type of personality that he was, that I knew that like he could not even handle anything at all. You know, okay. So I never like
partied. And how do you know he couldn't handle, like, he was
just because he couldn't even handle the pain pills.
Okay. And when you say he couldn't handle,
like he became so addicted to the pills.
Okay, got it.
That he needed it to
wake up,
performance to function.
Right.
Pretty much, you know? And if anybody out there that has had a parent or a significant other with addiction issues, like, you don't know how to handle somebody like that.
Right.
And you don't know to what extent they can, like, really go.
That's,
you know what,
true.
I mean?
I think it's over time you start to realize, like, how bad it is in the beginning.
Yeah, and they hide it from you.
And they hide it.
Yes. Addiction comes with, like, a very secretive...
Yes.
Because they start to hide it from the people that love them the most.
Yeah.
That are close to them, whether it's a partner or parents, because they're ashamed.
Yes.
And that is the biggest thing with addiction, is like having this secret life. It almost feels like they're cheating on you.
Right.
With their addiction, whether they have like a sex addiction, drug addiction, alcohol, whatever it is, it becomes like a very shameful thing. And they tend to push away the people that they love the most.
Right. And you lying to another adult about what you're doing, it's easy to get away with, right?
100%.
It's like, oh, you're 20, whatever. Like, you can go in your hotel room and do whatever you want.
And I think they tend to surround themselves with people who enable their addictions and feed their addictions.
And especially in entertainment.
Oh, yeah.
Where
because
people want them to be.
I mean, he had a lot of people around him that were a bunch of yes men, and a lot of people around him that.
Yeah.
He was putting food on all of their tables.
Right.
They were all making money off of him.
Right.
So they wanted to do whatever he asked them to do.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
I mean, it's so typical and it's so common in these situations.
And it's still so common.
Yeah, in every situation, whether it's with a regular person or somebody who's in the spotlight.
Mm-hmm.
It's all the same fucking story.
True.
You know?
Wow, that was deep. It's all the same fucking story.
And when I was in it, I was like, this is like borderline heading towards a very sad Hollywood story.
So you knew.
I knew.
You kind of knew.
I had the intuition and I knew it wasn't heading to a good place. You know, I reached out to his family. I reached out to...
After you guys broke up.
As we were breaking up, Tim needs help. He needs to go to intervention. He needs to go to a rehab clinic. And then, you know, obviously Tim was making a lot of money at the time. He was worth a lot of money. He was getting paid X amount for shows, $500,000 a show here. I mean, if they take the talent away and he can't for him, then nobody's making money. And it just became like a very disgusting life and like that part of the entertainment world that a lot of people like don't see. I was just like, this, I can't be a part of this. I can't.
Right.
As much as I loved him, I just.
You loved him.
I loved him so much to the point where like I had to walk away because I didn't want to be a part of him destroying himself. And at the same time, he was destroying me, you know?
Right. Destroying you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, being the and you didn't ask for this, the caretaker of someone and hoping and trying everything you can. But when someone has an addiction, you can't.
You can't. No matter who it is, like, no. They have to want and help themselves 100%. You know, and I came to that point where it was like, I will be here for you and I will stand by whatever you need to do in order for you to get through this. And he just pushed me and pushed me and pushed me away.
Right.
From that moment, I think he completely shut down to me. And I didn't handle the breakup very well. I was distraught.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't get out of bed for like weeks.
Deep depression.
Mm-hmm. My mom had to fly home to Toronto. I couldn't eat. I was down.
She had to like baby bird feed you.
I was in a really deep, dark place. I felt like I lost a part of it. Was like the worst breakup I've ever felt in my life. And I'm sure a lot of people can relate. Breakups are so fucking hard. It's insane.
I love that you're saying this right now because breakups are the worst thing in the whole world.
Oh my God.
Sometimes, a lot of the times, like you lose a
part of yourself.
You really do. Yeah. You really do.
And I think it's even harder when that person is like still around. And now with social media, like it takes it to a tenfold because you're seeing that person living their life or out partying, or you see them with other girls, or you see things that.
So you can't really get away.
So you can't get away that, like, I don't think a human being or like people that have like from the past or like our parents have ever really dealt with if they've like broke up with somebody. It takes it to a whole nother level.
So you broke up with him and you would still see him on social media.
And he had billboards in LA with his face. Like,
it wasn't even just Instagram. It was like billboards
and his songs were on the radio. It was really hard. And anybody who has dated somebody of like status or in the spotlight can completely relate. It's not easy. It's very, very
but
hard.
But you also got back together.
Well, we kind of had a moment like a year, like about a year later. And we had always kind of like talked. And we ran into each other in Vegas. And Tim and I had that relationship.
It was just like,
if we saw each other, we were like magnets.
Game over.
We saw each other and it was like, we had to be together. And so we had a moment where we were like back together. And I got pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up getting pregnant in 2016.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think with his constant battles, I think maybe he was searching for something that he felt like would give him a purpose in life.
Right.
Even though he had the biggest purpose.
But you getting pregnant was his purpose in life. And it's when do you find the purpose, right?
I don't know. I don't need, like, some people just keep searching and searching and they don't know. They feel so lost, whether they're trying to constantly find happiness. And he is the only person who can really, truly know. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I was very close with him. So I got pregnant and I ended up having a miscarriage at almost 7 weeks. Initially, obviously, it was like shocking to find out that I was pregnant. But I was like, if I were to be pregnant with somebody, it would be with him because he was the love of my life. Right, he was the most serious relationship that I ever had. And we talked about it. We were excited about it. And you know what? We were going to go for it. And I wasn't going to have an abortion. And I was like, if this is what life is throwing at me and this is what's meant to happen, maybe
I'm going to embrace it.
I'm going to embrace it. And maybe this is going to finally save him.
Yes.
From and whatever he was going through.
That can sound to some people like, escape or whatever, but I don't believe that. I've heard, you know, from people close to me and my family that getting pregnant or having a child to take care of whips them into shape.
Yeah,
and 100% helps their addiction. And so I don't blame you.
And 100%, like I remember him saying that to me, you know, when we were together, like, I've always wanted to be a young dad because his dad had him at like 40 something years old. So he's like, I always want to be a young dad. Because I don't know if you know Swedish House Mafia, one of those guys had kids at like 26 to 28.
Okay.
And they obviously live a very extensive life and travel the world.
Right.
So they probably are like wanting the next step pretty soon more than any other guy.
Right.
And I ended up having a miscarriage, and it's so crazy because so many women, it's so common.
It's so
fucking common. Yeah. And so many people don't talk about
it.
And how fucking traumatic it is, because you get excited, you're planning to have something, and then it almost gets stripped away from you. It's very traumatic. It's very like, it was almost like having a really bad period. And because as a woman, you're so intuitive and you know your body. And I almost knew what was happening. And because I had started bleeding, but I didn't want to believe it. And
right.
It was very traumatic because you pass it, you know,
right.
It's not like a full grown child, but you pass it and you see it. And
yeah,
it almost gets stripped away from you without your control. Oh my gosh. And this probably sounds disgusting, but it's almost like a really bad blood clot.
Yeah. Really? No, I don't think that sounds disgusting.
Yeah.
I think it's real.
Yeah, it's very real.
This is women talking real about a miscarriage, which is great.
It is. And it depends, obviously, how far along you are. And I know I have friends who have passed babies at a further date than myself.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when I went to my gynecologist, and obviously you need to go see a gyno after you have a miscarriage, and they go do a scan and an ultrasound and everything to see if everything's okay.
Right.
She's like, Raquel, I had a baby, then I had a miscarriage, then I had a baby, then I had a miscarriage. She's like, this is so common. It's more common than not. And I feel like women, and we should talk about it a little bit more and be a little bit more open about it, because when you think that it happens to you, you're like, why me? Why is this happening to me? Something's wrong with me.
Right.
I did something. It's my lifestyle. It's my body. And I feel so comfortable talking about it now.
Good.
It's like, it's almost like a therapy to me, because it's real life. And there was a point where he'd still been battling his own demons and his own addictions. And I came to a point when this happened, he kind of turned on me again. And this was when I knew that he still wasn't better, because I know he couldn't be the person that he wanted to be for me.
Right.
And I know that was upsetting for him as well. And I'm sure he was suffering in his own way from this situation and everything else. And he didn't handle it in the way that I think he wanted to, or whatever. And this was 2017. I had met this guy from back home in Toronto, and we had dated for like 8 months. And while we were dating, Tim had passed away in 2018.
That breaks my heart. I am so, so, so sorry you had to go through that.
I know it's really crazy for me to say, but I feel like for so long, it was so painful to watch somebody that you love, that you know that's the love of your life, that you care so much about, like, watch them suffer and battle with life.
Yeah.
Like, go through, like, their own stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I felt almost a sense of, like, obviously, I was in shock when I got the phone call.
Of course.
But a sense of relief. Because it was almost like, okay, obviously, it was, like, heartbreaking. And you deal with those battles of, like, why? But there was a big part of me that is, like,
relief.
Like, he's finally not suffering anymore.
Yeah.
And I can, like, go on in my life now. As traumatic as like that Porsche, those 5 years of my life were, I am so grateful and I'm so thankful that he's not only made an impact on billions of people in this world, who I am today, like mentally, like spiritually, like how I look at life, how I deal with relationships, how I can help other people.
Right.
Now, Tim's father started a foundation called the Tim Berkling Foundation. And it's targeted towards, you know, young people with mental health and how social media can have such a big impact.
Right. And Tim got super famous young, right?
16. And this is when kind of Twitter and Instagram
became a thing,
you know, when he was around that age and he was starting to travel. And, you know, they were like making fun of him and saying mean things to him. And I remember him pointing it out to me. And I like, I can truly, honestly say that those things like stuck with him and probably carried on with him from the moment that he passed away, which is why people really don't truly understand when they hide behind a computer screen. And if they say something to the wrong person, what the effect that it can have.
You know, I sound and feel like a broken record talking about it, but it's gotten so bad. Raquel, thank you so, 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 so much for sharing. And everyone should check out the Tim Bergling Foundation. I know I will. Thank you for sharing your story, Raquel. I think it's going to help a lot of people.
Of course. I always want to take things and turn it into a positive, because you can really, truly take these types of traumatic situations and really continue to live a very good life for yourself and not let it ruin your life.
Yes. And you're living the best life, which, by the way, Raquel, you just up and moved to Miami.
I did. I was in LA for, I moved to LA in 2011 for school. And I stayed there and I started my blog when I was, I actually started my blog when I was with Tim. I started my own website because I was bored when I was traveling with him. So I started like a fashion blog because I wasn't really sure what I was going to do after school. And I was on the road with him. And after we broke up was I put my, my whole energy and my whole everything into this blog and like my work. So I really started this fashion thing after we broke up, and I didn't ride off of his fame or like nobody even knew that I dated him in the fashion industry, or I kept it completely separate and I built my own brand and I built my own thing myself.
Well, I mean, your Raquel's fashion sense is insane. So Raquel, tell them your Instagram and then your new swimwear brand. Let's start with Instagram.
My Instagram is Raquel Natasha. I am launching my own swimwear line finally right now. It's going to be launching in the next couple weeks. It's called Natasia Swim.
Natasia Swim.
And Sophia's going to have the whole line on her.
I'm going to wear it. Yeah, only. I mean, I've seen you wear it and it fits like a glove.
The fit is amazing. Yeah, you'll love it.
Raquel, I love you so much. Thank you. Sleuths, thank you so much for tuning in. If you or someone you know needs help, help is available. Speak with someone today at the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. It's available 24 hours. Dial the number 800-273-8255.